Western PA, a town called Johnstown. You're from there? Yes. Oh, right down the street from me. Dunlow. Yes, I've been through there. Yep. You know, it's amazing in life. When I was a little kid, I don't know, 10, 12 years old, I went to an altar to receive Jesus. Absolutely receive Jesus. For 2 weeks. Because, you know, God calls each one of us for a particular purpose. And my call was evangelism. I went to tell everybody Jesus. But you know what? You know how many people I told? After 2 weeks, I couldn't tell my parents. I couldn't tell my school friends. Couldn't tell anybody. We had a field behind our house. I walked back and said, Jesus, I quit this Christian life. And you know what? Worst words I ever said. You know? Because when you reject God, the enemy says, oh, I'm going to take you to the pit. And so I went to the pit till I was, I think, around 30, 31. Somebody from a radio station used to talk to me. His name was Dave Smith. He was on WJNL, if you remember that station. Dave would talk to me and talk to me. He knew my life was a mess. Finally, I went to a charismatic church. Good decision. And I saw it was different from the church I came from, who had all the laws and all the legalism. You know, you got to stand. If you mess up, God's going to get you. And, you know, and you can't live a life for Christ if you think God's going to get you every minute of your life. It doesn't work. Well, I saw there was a difference. Went to a Denny's up by the Walmart. And sitting there, they were all talking, and I'm saying, God, okay, I'm coming back to you. Forgive me. And I said, okay, where's the angel singing? Where's the bells going off? Nothing happened. But I did one smart thing. I said to the pastor, I just asked Jesus in my heart. They backslapped me. Eventually, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, changed my life. And then I had a store back then called Gary's. I sold car stereos, home stereos. I did an Apple computer store for a while. And you know, none of that went well. I always thought that's going to send me places, because I always felt, you know, I was called into the world to preach the gospel. And none of that worked. But I went out to a small town called Central City. And there was a guy by the name of Sam Childers had a church out there. And I'd heard about Sam. Sam was a missionary. He had an orphanage in Nimli, South Sudan. Back then it was all Sudan. And back in those times, Joseph Kony was ruling or fighting in Uganda. And you had to go through, we landed in Uganda to get to where we were going in South Sudan. And he would take guns to protect his orphans. I thought, wow, a missionary carrying a load and willing to use it to protect the kids? Well, I went to his church because I'd heard about him. First night, God said, I want you to go to Africa with him. I said, nah. Went back the second time. God said it again. You know, I've learned something. If God tells you something more than once, you ought to listen to it. You know, because sometimes he doesn't go to the third time. He's looking for the two times. So I said, okay, I went with him. Went with him twice. And then we kind of went different ways, which is okay. And I went with someone from Pittsburgh on my third trip. And that was okay. I met a guy in Uganda by the name of Moses Ouni, O-U-N-I. And fourth trip came up. I had my ticket bought. I had some money to go. I said to my friends, are you ready to go? We don't have any money. We can't go. So I had a choice. Go by myself. Now, I did know Moses. That's who we were going to go again. Or cash in the ticket, send the money back. And I knew that would end my missionary work forever. And I went. Best decision I ever made. And, you know, sometimes you think I'm not prepared for it. And I wasn't, in one way. The first day we did a seminar, I said, God, that was horrible. That was really bad. So we're going back the second day, and every time I tell the story, I know exactly where I was on this road. It probably took us a good hour or more to get to where we're going, out in the bush. And that's normally where I go, is out in the bush where other missions won't go. You know, because they're out of the limelight. And we're going down this road, and I thought, you know what? There's people back in Johnstown praying for me like that. The Spirit of the Lord came on me. Never, ever left without going on missions. This past trip, I went to Tanzania. This was my second trip. And earlier, there was a picture of a mountain and two elephants. That is Mount Kilimanjaro. And I was in a town called Arusha, which is right there. And I was looking at my notes, and I thought, you know, God, I don't know what I'm going to say. One thing I've learned, the moment I stepped into where God wanted me to go, the presence of God came. And I had no idea what I'm going to say here. I'm just believing God's going to have a word for me. This is what God told me while we were worshiping. Do you want an encounter with God today?
Yes.
Do you want an encounter with God today?
Yes.
I'm telling you, he wants to give it to you.
Yes.
And I don't want you to see it's coming from me. It's coming from Jesus. We said that name of Jesus. That name is here in your life to change your life, to change your circumstances, whatever it is. We're not too old, we're not too young for God to change us. And God wants to. He wants to bring an anointing into your life that you maybe didn't have before. You know, I don't know, you know, one thing other than Gary and Rhonda, I don't know anybody else here, which is good. Because if God speaks to me and tells me to give you a word, you know, I couldn't know anything about you because I don't know you. And that's wonderful. And, you know, greatest thing in life is being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the thing I've learned, you don't stop with being filled once. You just don't. You know, there's a scripture, I think it's in Matthew 10, it says, if you parents know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask? See, you have to ask. And I can tell you, coming here, I said, God, I need more of the Holy Spirit, even sitting there. God, I need that anointing because these people need an encounter with God to change their lives. You know, we all need that. And I could tell you all these things. Now, we're going to listen to a worship song from Africa. Now, I just got an iPad right before I left. So you're going to see it's not, doesn't line up quite right, but the music will be okay. And it is, the song is basically, nothing is impossible with God. The worship song. I'm telling you, I just felt the presence of God. I don't know about anybody else here, but I felt the presence of God. See, it's not the language. It's the worship that was bringing us into the presence. And that's what that was. That's why I wanted to play that first. I've learned one thing in going to Africa is the greatest thing to start your ministry is a worship song. That name of Jesus. You got to send me the name of that song. Email me because I love that. It's the name. It's not my name. It's not your name. It's the name of Jesus that will bring change into your life, will bring you an encounter. And God wants to bring you an encounter. Now, I did an interview with my interpreter. And what's so amazing, I had him last year, and there was a mix-up, and he didn't fulfill his obligation. And I thought, oh, God, please restore him. Well, he came back again, and he worked. I was there for 10 days, and we worked together every day for hours. And other than one day, there was some confusion. I got another interpreter. But, man, when you're one in the spirit with someone, you know it. There's a difference. So we're going to play the interview. The interview is about 3 minutes long. And he when they start the interview, I couldn't think of his name. So if you see me laughing up this, because I had to say, what's your name? It's Emmanuel.
Introduce my best friend here.
Now. Yes. Huh?
Oh, wow. Emmanuel.
Yeah.
You know, I just want you to give him a short, give him a chance to tell you a short synopsis of what happened when we were on this trip.
First of all, we thank God. I thank God for meeting my friends, my best friend.
Our second year.
Yes, this is second year. Pastor Gary, he has been a blessing to us since I met him from last year. And this year it has been so incredible. We have been going with him as an interpreter for him in three places. And now we have finishing to the big church here in town in Arusha, to Bishop Church. Wow, we thank God that have used him in a mighty way. All over the places that we have been through, God has been moving abundantly in a mighty way. And the Holy Spirit was overwhelmed us in every situation. We have seen miracles. We have seen people saving and receiving Jesus. We have seen people are being healed. We have seen people are being filled with the Holy Spirit. And we have seen people that God has again put the joy to their hearts. So, Lily, we thank God for the ministry of Pastor Gary. And Lily, we love him. And he has been a blessing to us. He has touched the lives of people. A lot of people have changed. We have a lot of testimonies about healings. Even yesterday, it was a mighty healing. People who have their hearts, their whole truth, their hearts were healed. Some were blind. Every kind of sickness, God did wonders. We really thank him. And we really love that he has used the man of God to do that. We believe that was the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit. So thank you. Thank you for sending him, and thank you for everything that you've done for him. And Lily, we wish, I hope next year again,
yes,
you'll be here.
I hope so.
For the fire of the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Even greater.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Thank you so
Amen.
Much. Amen.
Amen. So, Lord, we just come to you, and Lord, speak your word to your people. You know what each person needs. You know the word you want spoken, that they would hear the voice of Jesus as he spoke, even as he spoke 2,000 years ago. He spoke to his people. People listened. And God, give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Because if we're not listening, we'll miss what God is saying. So we thank you for it. Thank you. You know, a couple of things I learned about receiving a new level of anointing in our life. Often there's things that hold us back. And, you know, one of the greatest things that holds us back is unforgiveness. You know, we don't realize how subtle unforgiveness can enter your life. And, you know, we, during the seminars, God led me every single time. As soon as we went through that, you know, besides unforgiveness, often you have this bond that you're carrying around. Whatever it is. It could be your old life. Could have been what happened. Could have been what someone did to you. You know, we're all humans, and I'll guarantee you there's no one sitting in here that someone didn't do something to you that if you haven't forgiven, you need to forgive. And often, the number one person we forget to forgive is us. We forget to forgive us. And that can be the most important thing we can do, is forgiving us. So if you don't mind, would you like to go through a prayer of forgiveness? Because I'm telling you, when we do, watch the presence of God begin to move and begin to lift every burden. You know, one time I was in Africa, and I didn't know what I was going to pray or say. I'm sitting there, I'm looking, there was a box of cookies there. I thought, oh, you know what it says in Isaiah 10, 27? The anointing of the Lord destroys the yoke. I took a cookie up. I said, see this cookie? This is all your bondage. Now, when the Lord sets you free, I took and I crushed that cookie. I said, now try to put it back together. And I tell you, we had such a move of God, because God's going to release anything that's holding you back in your life. Anything. Today. Today you're going to have an encounter. Today you're going to experience what God has for you. And you know, there's all these things that we often leave on the table because we don't think we're worthy of it. If I thought that in my life, and believe me, I made enough of mistakes in my life, and I have made many since my conversion, but God's forgiven me every time. And you know, I'll tell you one quick story. I had an uncle who gave me some money. Uncle Bob. And my dad wanted it. He didn't want me to have it. He wanted it. And he threw me out of the house. I mean, don't want, you know, I'm getting an attorney. I'm going to get that money. You're not going to keep it. Well, he was wrong. You know, God said, you can either give it or keep it. I'm going to keep it because it was given to me. And he did get some money. But, you know, he, on January the 1st of 2001, my dad died. I went down to see him dead in the hospital. He's laying on one of those gurneys, had no shirt on. It was wintertime back there, lots of snow. And he had these brown work pants and his boots on. And God said, he's with me, but his sin's here in the earth. What are you going to do with it? And I said, I'm going to forgive him. Now, I can tell that story without any problem because I forgave. You know, sometimes we have to forgive people already buried. Because of what they did to us. You know, some of us are older, and we know some people did some wrong to us. So right now, we're going to, you know, you don't have to say to me or to anybody you're sitting next to, but we're going to take a moment and say, let's all pray together. Okay? Say, Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Right now, I forgive all that have hurt me, all that abuse me, in any way whatsoever. God, I forgive them, even as you forgave me. So God, now, if there's anybody between you and God, if he puts it in your mind about Harry or Sally or Andy or whoever, say, I forgive them right now. And I'm telling you, God's going to begin to do some new things in your life. And sometimes, even if you need healing, you're going to find you're being healed right now. I'm telling you, right now I feel people are being restored in their lives. Because, you know, if you go to Matthew 18, there's a story about Peter coming to Jesus. How many times should I forgive someone? Is 7 times enough? And Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. That's 490 times. And Jesus never asked us to do anything he's not willing to do. If you go to John 10, 14, 12, the works that I do, you can also do. And part of that work is forgiveness. And I am sure all of us have been forgiven 490 times plus, maybe 14,900 times. And see, that's why he wants us to forgive. And then if you go down further, there's a story about a king. He called people in to make an account. I'm paid. I want my money that you owe me. Well, the one guy owed him millions and millions of dollars. He said, okay, we're gonna sell you, your wife, your kids, your house, your possessions to get some of my money back. And the guy begged, no, please, please, don't do that. I'll pay you back. If he was going to pay him back, he would have had the money in the bank, at least part of it, and said, well, here's $2 million of the $5 million I owe you. He had none of it. And see, that's what our sins are like. We cannot pay back Jesus for anything he's forgiven. And then he leaves the king's presence. Totally forgiven. The king, I said, I'll forgive you. Then he runs into somebody, grabs him by the neck, give me my money. Even though it was a few thousand dollars. He said, give me a chance. I'll pay you back. Threw him in debtor's jail. Back then they could do that. And the king's other officials said, went to the king and said, you know what this man did? He said, bring him here. They brought him. He said, how can you evil man, how could you, after I forgave all those millions of dollars, how could you not forgive someone who owed you a few thousand? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take, yeah, what's amazing, he did not include the wife and the kids, just the man. Because sometimes our sin causes our whole family to go down the tubes. But what's amazing, and with this story, Only that man. He said, I'm going to put you in jail and they're going to torment you. See, that's what happens. And then it goes on to say, if you don't forgive, your Father in heaven is going to release you into the tormentors. Now, it doesn't say he's going to torment you. That means there's a separation between you and God and you're going to be tormented. And often that torment could be disease. It could be depression. I mean, it's endless. All the things that come along because God's hand's off your life. Because that's what unforgiveness does. It separates you between you and God. And God doesn't want you to be separated. We're included. We're in the family. You're one of the kids. You know, he's your papa. He is your daddy, and he wants to do you good. Now, since we all went through that, God, let's say we're going to release all the things, all the bondages in our life, whatever they are. Whatever they are. Could be your past. Whatever it is. You know, each one of us have something different that we say we drag around. I'll never forget, there's a good friend of mine. He owned a music store, and he went through depression. He ended up losing his store. We had a meeting. And God showed me, he was carrying around, chained to him was his old body. He's dragging it everywhere. I said, Rick, we want to break those chains. We did. Unfortunately, you know what he did? He rechained himself. See, once you do today, don't ever get chained to it again, because God's going to pour out a fresh anointing on everybody who's in here today. But we don't want anything to keep it from happening. So let's go before God again. Say, Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I want that anointing to break every chain in my life. I now receive from you a fresh anointing. God, give me the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. God, it says, how much more will you give them the Holy Spirit to ask? And I'm asking right now, give me more. Fill me again with that Holy Spirit. Let your gifts flow through me. Use me in whatever ministry you want me to do. All in the name of Jesus. See, all of you have something new. Now, one thing I normally do when we talk about getting filled with the Holy Spirit is bring your hands up. You know why you do that? That's a sign of surrender. You know, let's all just surrender right now. God, we surrender ourselves to you. We surrender, and God, we receive that new baptism in the Holy Ghost. All of it come to each and everyone in here in Jesus' name. But, you know, has anybody ever prophesied in this church over in tongues? I'm going to, if it's okay. And I'm going to tell you exactly what I said. I'm releasing a freshness into this church. I'm releasing a freshness into your life. I'm bringing you forward. You've been put back. God said, now is your time to arise. Now is your time to move forward. Now is your time to say, God, I'm one of yours. Now is the time to bring healing into my life. Now is the time for us to go forward. For we are mighty through God, through the pulling down of every stronghold. Nothing the enemy can do can stop us. We are arising with the glory of God. We are arising with power in our life. We are arising in that name of Jesus that's above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every disease must fall. Every affliction of the enemy must fall. Depression, oppression from the enemy, I bind it and cast it out of everybody here in the name of Jesus. Glory. Woo. Oh my goodness. Do you feel the presence of the Lord? Why? Because we sought forgiveness, then we broke the bondage. Now God has something new in our lives. Oh, praise you, God. That's an encounter with the Lord. Man. I can tell you, another encounter, you know, we were in one of these seminars, and I'm writing a book. God told me to write a book. And actually, a friend of mine prophesied, and God gave me the name one day, and he says, run into the fire. And, you know, I did start on it. I said, God, I want a definition what you mean by all that. What do you mean? Because I think it's Matthew and Luke said, there's one coming who's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. I said, God, I want a definition. I don't want to hear your definition or yours. I want you to give me a definition what you mean by that. So I looked up the word fire. I couldn't believe how many times it's in the Bible. So I'm going through that. I believe I have a lot more to go. I just started that yesterday because I want to know. So anyway, when I said that, I am telling you, the fire of God filled that place like, just as soon as I said the word fire, the presence of God came in so powerfully. It was amazing. Amazing. See, I want more of God. You know, I've had some wonderful experiences. There was another time I was in Africa, and a church was singing a song in their language, just like what we heard. I am telling you, there was at least 100 people there, maybe more. Oh, I was on my knees just worshiping the Lord. I didn't even know the song till I got back. And it was "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Someone said, "Oh, that's the tune." Oh, the presence was so powerful. I got up, and you know, I prayed for everybody. I started with the choir, and half of them fell over. Then I went and prayed. All these people, see, it's not me. See, it's whenever you open yourself up, you can't imagine what you can do. I never dreamt as a young man. You know, you're a young man. I don't know what dreams and aspirations you have from God, but I'm telling you, God has a plan for you. God has a plan. And you know, when you were playing that, I was up in near the Congo years ago. They walked with 50-gallon drums that they made drums out of. They carried them miles, miles. I think, wow, that is confidence in knowing when they come, they're expecting something from God. And I want you to know you're going to get something from God today, even more than what you've gotten so far. And I'm telling you, that word God just spoke, I've learned. You know, I was in South Sudan at an orphanage. And I'm sitting there. I wasn't even supposed to speak that night. Someone came up and said, "You're next." I had maybe 5 minutes. And I've learned, I never prepare a message. I don't even know how. You know, honestly, I don't know how to have it come out making sense. But God always gives me scriptures. So they said, "You're next." So I gave a word. A bunch of people stood up to receive Christ. By the way, is anybody here not born again? Because you know what? You can't have the Holy Spirit. You can't have all the gifts. You can't have the presence without having Jesus. And, you know, sometimes when you're in a small group, big group, especially big groups, you can hide. You can pretend to be a Christian, but God doesn't want you to be a pretender. So if you have anything, it's nothing, you know, it's a wonderful thing to come to Christ. It's a wonderful thing to give your life. You know, one of the meetings just this past time, I said, somebody has a word from the Lord. Nobody came up. Finally, this man comes up, he's bawling. I thought he had a word. You know what his word was? "I want to go back to Jesus because I've turned away from him." That was a word from God. That motivated him to come up. You never know what you say and how it's going to do. Back to that story, I was in that orphanage. And I get up, I give the message, people get saved. And I go turn around and sit down. All of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord came on me. I walked down praying in tongues. As I turned around, I gave them interpretation. First time that had ever happened. I've been praying in tongues for a long time. Then I went to sit down. The Spirit came on me again, went down the other side. Same thing, and gave up. And a lot of it was over the nation. You know, I'm not like a seer. Like, there are people that have that giftedness as a true prophet. I'm not that, though I prophesy. See, one of the things, if you read, and we're not going to go into all of that, but, you know, I would really highly suggest that you read, what's it, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about the gifts. And know this, there's also some spoken of in Romans. One of my favorite is 1 Peter 4:11. If you're going to speak for God, speak as if God is speaking through you. I'm telling you, when I speak, I don't care what I'm prophesying, what I'm preaching, what I'm teaching, whatever, I believe I'm speaking what God wants you to hear. And see, the other thing, God wants us to imitate him and be like God on this earth, because that's what the world needs, people that look like Jesus. You know, Jesus' fame brought people to him. He healed the sick, delivered them, cast out demons, whatever. You know, we had one lady, I should say, in the middle of preaching, all of a sudden she falls down and starts crying and screaming. And it was demons. And we cast them out, and she's still going on. I know it's gonna stop. They picked her up. I don't know, 4, 5, 6 people picked her up, carried her outside. I said, she'll be back. But, you know, she was interrupting what God was doing. See, that's what the enemy wants to do, interrupt. If there's any way he could interrupt us right now, he'd do it, but he can't. He can't. You know, the worship, he can't. The people here, can't. But there, you know, there's a lot of people. And there she came back in, set free. I think there was a second one. And what's amazing, there seems to be more ladies that demons are cast out than men. I don't know why. Believe me. You know, we all have to fight that devil. And if you let your guard down, he will come in. He'll find your weakness. See, that's why we put on that full armor. The first thing is that breastplate of righteousness. For I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am. See, if you don't recognize that you are, and that's in Ephesians chapter 6, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you don't believe that, then all the other things you can't do, because you begin to think, I'm not worthy to do that. And you're as worthy as Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, whoever you can think of. You're just as worthy. You're as worthy as Jesus. Absolutely just as worthy as Jesus to do what Jesus did. Or he wouldn't have said in John, one of my favorite scriptures, John 14:12, the works that I do, you can also do in even greater ones. I remember when I first got saved, I read that. Wow, I can act like Jesus. And this friend of mine who was also saved around saying, oh, no, he doesn't really mean that. Yeah, it does. It does mean that. You know, how can I, you know, there was a lady with a hole in her heart. You know, I'm going to take my computer. I'm going to show you just a few seconds of how we pray for her. It wasn't any great prayer. It wasn't, but I did one thing. I always get people, say if someone, let's say he's a cripple. I said, you know, put your cane down or come out, your walk and start moving like you couldn't before. Because that's the key. Doing something. Jesus always said, you know, the man at the well Bethesda, he was sick for 38 years. He said, pick up your bed and go home. If he wouldn't have picked up his bed and went home, you know, he'd still been laying there dead by now and nothing but a bunch of bones. You see, Jesus, back then, they thought, well, if we get into that water and the angel comes, I'll be healed. But now there's a new way. You can come right to the source of all healing. Jesus. Jesus. That is a source. That's the power source. We said power in the name. That's a power source. I'm going to show you. We're a small enough group that you can see part of that. It's only going to be a few moments of how we prayed. And then I'll show you. She came up, and then I think, if I remember, we went to 3 churches, and we did seminars. Now we were supposed to be there 3 days. The last church they had on Friday, they had somebody who just died in their church. And in Africa, you know, as in here, it's a big deal when someone passes. So there wasn't as many people. So we only went 2 days, and then the final day I went to this big church in Arusha. But this is us praying for the lady. Okay. I prayed for her, and I got her to get up and start walking and running, because she told us she had a hole in her heart. And you know, I want to show you that you know, I'm nothing. The only thing special about me is I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. You know. Now here is her. Come on. Okay. Come on up. Okay. Now this is the same lady, at her own expense, came to the last church we were at just to give her testimony about how God healed her heart, and she was born with a hole in her heart. And what's amazing. Now, my interpreter was interpreting whatever she was saying. So I'm only going to show a little bit of it.
Here, I'm standing with you in front of you. We were
she's saying, I had a hole. I couldn't do some of the things before, but now I can. Why? One name. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And she said, when we were born, I don't know where the microphone is on this thing.
One died in 2012. But I thank God up to now, I'm still surviving.
You know, and from her to come from where she was at to here, I can tell you it was a trip. And they ride on a motorcycle. You know, they hire, you know, they take motorcycles and they ride in the back. And God wants you to know, wherever you go, He wants to go with you. You know, going there on the bus to the airport, I ministered to a pilot or co-pilot of an airplane. I said, you know how to navigate. God's going to use you to help navigate people through life. And he was a Christian from the South somewhere. And then I get to the airport, I heard these ladies talking, and there was a lady by the name of Cindy. She was a nurse at the Navajo reservation. And I'm looking, before I even went to talk to her, I'm looking, and God, I felt I had a word for the Indian nations. You know, they're called the First Nations. God is going to move in a mighty way among the First Nations. He's going to pour out His Spirit. They're going to affect America. Because you know what? For 200 years, they've been seeking the truth. And now God's going to pour out the truth to them. There's going to be a move. And what's amazing, I asked the lady, I said, you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit? No, right there in the airport. Would you like it? Yes. I said, let's put up our hands. And we prayed together. And then I find out that she's surrounded by all these other people she's going to Africa with. You know? See, God has given me that gift to lead people to receive the Holy Spirit in such simple ways. Because I can tell you, it's the most important thing in your life to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the most important thing in your life. See, you get the gifts. God's given me, I've done all the gifts at one time or another, all of them. It's to help people. We get the benefit of helping people. And sometimes, be honest with you, when I pray for people, I get some of that glory coming back on me. I love it. And sometimes it's like you don't go by feelings. But it is nice when God allows you to feel what He's imparting to somebody else. And so God's going to impart some more. I mean, this isn't over. God has some great things over this congregation. Because you know what? He's looking for people, and I see a lot of head shaking, that are looking to do something for the Lord. And you know, you can do anything. I never went to Bible school. I did listen to the Hagans and the Copelands and Benny Hinn and a lot of other people. And I've read a lot of the books about healing. And God gave me a word that I would have a healing ministry. In fact, back in the 90s, this old prophet came and said, you're going to be a teacher. I'm thinking, yeah, when hell freezes over. I couldn't even imagine myself doing that. But you know what? I can do that. You know, God showed me on this trip, I do three things when I preach. I teach, I preach, and I evangelize. I thought, oh. And I could see during different parts, I do that. You know, preaching is encouraging. Teaching is open your understanding to something. Evangelizing is, do you want to receive Christ? You know, so all of us have something in us, and I never thought about that before. But we all have gifts like that. And same thing with the pastors. You have gifts. God wants to bring them out. See, God wants to elevate you, puff you up. Not in a sense of pride, but, you know, Jesus, I know a lot of people don't talk about the fame that Jesus had. Or you can, you know, a lot of these famous, we'll call them famous people on TV that are preachers and evangelists or whatever they are. You know, why do people come? Why do people come to these people? Because they have something to offer. You have something to offer. You know, never doubt you have something to offer. And, you know, all the things I've experienced down through the years, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And the training I've got, I've been to Africa 14 times. And I've been 11 times by myself. Now, not that I don't want to take anybody. It's just, now when I go there, I definitely work with the local pastors. So don't think I'm like, you know, I'm the only star. But I've learned one thing. When you go from America to Africa, you had better have your head on right, because they look at you, I'll say, like a rock star. And if you fall into that trap of pride, it will never work for you. You know, one of the times I was in this church preaching, teaching, and I was, praying over different people, giving them words, and I could see this one young guy back in the corner. He's looking at me. I know what he wants. He wants me to give him a word. I said, "Do you want a word from the Lord?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Come here." So over here was 10 or 12 pastors. I knew they were pastors. I said, "I'm not going to give you a word." He is. He came over. You know what? Turned out to be his brother. Because I knew his eyes were looking to me. And I've learned, if someone's looking at me, I don't give them what they're looking for till they get their eyes towards heaven and Jesus. You know, we want our eyes heavenly. God, we want to see you in the midst of the congregation. Lord, let your spirit, let your power fill this church. Let it stay. You know, when God comes, he doesn't like to leave. When you invite him as guests, he will not leave unless you close the door on him. Or you do something so silly and so dumb. He says, I'll stand back and wait, but I'm always willing to come. And see, that's why he wants us to imitate. You know, here's John 4:17. The last part of it says, as he is, so are we in this world. That's a pretty strong statement. As he is, so are we in this world. Now, does that mean he, as he is in heaven, or as he was when he was on the earth? I think it was as he is in heaven, because when you go to the Lord's Prayer, Lord, let your will be done here on earth like it is in heaven. And Matthew 16 and 18 says, whatever you bind on earth must already be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth must already be loosed in heaven. God's given us powerful tools that often we forget to use them. And Corinthians, I think it's 10:33, says this, and you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. That's Paul saying, you know, watch what I do. You do the same. But you imitate Christ, the anointed one. And Philippians, it says this, 2:5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. You know, we need to have that mind. You know, coming back, I stopped at a Sheetz. That Sheetz is like a Wawa back in Johnstown. I know there's one or two around here. I stopped to use the restroom. As I'm walking into the building, there's this lady who's obviously a bit crippled. And God, as I'm going in, God says, I want you to pray for her. I said, come on, Lord, I am not doing that. So on my way out, God says, I said, okay, God, I'll do it if she's beside my car. I mean, I'm thinking, what is the chance of her being beside my car? You know, I get outside, my car's here. Guess her car, the car she is in is right beside me. And guess where she is with the window down? Right beside me. God is too much. And I went over, her name was Joanne. I said, Joanne, I just came back from America. I really feel God wants me to pray for you. And she began to tell me her story. You know, her husband passed away about a year ago, suddenly coming back from a Bible study in his car. And I don't know if he wrecked the car, but he died. And she said, they found out there's a malady that people, if they lose one of their spouses or someone very close, it's a broken heart. And it really affects their whole body. And she said, I had that. And then she had some other help on. I said, and obviously she was crippled. I said, I prayed for her. I said, let's get out and walk around. See, that's one thing I get people to do, is walk. You know, I could tell you so many stories of you know, last year, this is amazing. Last year, you know, in Acts 19, it says, hankies and aprons and stuff touched Paul's body, and they were laid on other people, and people were healed. Now, I had a healing service where I just spoke over everybody, and I went down to the crowd, and there was a lady there. I said, what's your problem? It's my heart. I said, okay, give me your hand, start walking. She starts walking. Then she starts running. And she comes back, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. Amazing. Now, God said, as we're ending, he said, line people up. And whatever they have in their hand, tell them to put it, as you go by, you're just going to anoint it. Well, I went by her, didn't even know it. She had a phone in one hand and a hanky in, or cloth in the other. The next day, she has this testimony. She said, right after you left, I called my brother up. The man of God just touched my phone. You're healed. His brother was healed. Whatever. Then she said, I went home and I laid the cloth on Mama, who was deathly ill. By morning, Mama got better. See, no one taught her that faith. I think that's astounding. Astounding for her to take her faith. And see, God wants us to take our faith to new levels. Do you want your faith to new levels? Expect to start. See, God will give you opportunities. When you shake your head like that, I'll guarantee you God will give you some opportunities to test your faith. Because he wants you to help people. He said, freely you receive, freely give. You know, there was a lady that was crippled on her one side. We prayed for her, and not only did she get that back, she had other pains in the other side, completely well. And I could tell you about many people. Oh, there was one lady. This is kind of funny. She couldn't see more than 10 meters. And after we prayed, I don't know if we laid hands on her. She just, you know, was in a prayer in the crowd. And she said, now I can see. I got my sight back. And she said, when I went to church, every time I'd go to church, I'd cough the whole time. And when I left, it would go. She said, I got filled with the Holy Spirit last night or yesterday, and I don't cough anymore. And then there was a lady, a young girl, younger than just about anybody that's in here. She said, I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I began to speak in tongues last night. See, tongues is, you know, it's too often people have such a bad thing about tongues. You know, when I pray for somebody, if they let me, I don't know. Say if I'm praying for you, I don't know anything about you, right? Never saw you before. And I'll say, can I pray in tongues? And you said, okay. And when I pray in tongues, God will give me something. If I don't say an interpretation, I'll know how to pray for you. And see, that's, and same thing with for yourself. The other day, I try to go biking just about every day. When I'm biking alone, what I'll do is I'll pray in the Spirit. And God said the other day when I was praying in the Spirit, he said, what you're doing is you're laying the groundwork for coming here. And see, that's one of the gifts. And too often we think, I don't want that. I've heard too many bad things about it. You know, try to speak in a language that's nonsense that you can even come up with for very long. You can't. But if you get an language from God, I can speak for a while. And I'll tell you, even though I've been doing it for probably 30 years, sometimes my head says, come on, is that God? Yes, it is. Because, see, when you first get that, and, you know, I always tell people, has anybody here ever spoken in tongues? Just raise your hand. Oh, wow. It looks like just about everybody. You know, that is such an important plus that we have that the world doesn't have. I can tell you so many times I've used that to pray for people or for myself. You know, I pray more in tongues than I do any other thing because, honestly, sometimes I just don't know how to pray. But I know when I pray in tongues, I'm praying those perfect prayers between God and I. So I just want to encourage you. It's expect pluses. God sends you somewhere, and God, what should I do? Oh, yes, I know what to do now. Oh, Shabbat. Yes, yes, I'll go that way, God. You know. You know, and what I found too is I often speak in multiple languages. I mean, not at the same time, but I can tell they don't sound like what it was before. So God will give you things to help others and yourself. And, you know, here's Colossians 1:22. He says, yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless and holy, stand before him without a single fault. Blameless, holy, without fault. Those are powerful words. Blameless, holy, and without a fault. All of us. When you go to God and say, Lord, forgive me. all of a sudden you're blameless, holy, and without a fault. Now, when you realize that, there's things you can do that you couldn't do before you realize that. You know, if I didn't think I had all of that taken off of me, all the guilt and all the stuff, and if I didn't think I was holy and blameless, without a fault, I could not have done the things I've done. I just couldn't.